Thank you, Tammy, for your song. A good message in that song. If you have your Bible today, turn to the scripture found in 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. That's near the end of the New Testament, if you're not aware of where that book is. Just before Jude, and that was Jude is just before Revelation. 3 John, verse 2. While you're turning to that area of scripture, before we get into today's message and read the scripture, let's look back a few weeks in order that we might bring our minds up to where we are today. Now, I started off November by saying there are several things that God desires for us to do. If we're His people, if we have been born again and living the way that He would have us to live, there are several things that God desires and requires of us. First of all, I said that God desires for us to be happy. And don't think that that is just a light emotion or just a good feeling. It's much more than that when we read our Bibles. It's something that God desires for us, and it's something that we will experience if we live in the manner that He tells us to live. Jesus in the Beatitudes talked about happiness. When He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed and happy are those people indeed. So God does want us to be happy because in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the storms, as Tammy sang about this morning, we can have that peace, we can have that assurance in our hearts of knowing that God is with us regardless of what happens in our life. Then the second thing that God desires for us, and I preached that the second week of November, He wants us to be holy. God is a holy God, and He desires that His people be holy as well. The Bible tells us, without holiness, no man shall see God. So God is a holy God, and He desires for His people to be holy, and we can be indeed. Last week, I talked about the fact that we should be thankful, that we should have an attitude of gratitude. And certainly, we all have a lot to be thankful for in life because God has blessed us with many things, not only His Son, Jesus Christ, but God has blessed us in other spiritual ways. He's blessed us physically. He's blessed us financially. And certainly we need to be appreciative. That leads up to today's message and the fact that God wants us to be healthy, both physically healthy and spiritually healthy. And that's what John writes about here in verse 2 of 3 John, and there's only one chapter. But now John is the same one that wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. But this epistle, he's writing to three different people, primarily Gaius. And he is commending Gaius because he has the gift of hospitality. He has entertained many Christian workers in his home. He has opened up his home for them, and he commends him for doing this. But anyway, John writes to him, and he says in verse 2, and this is our scripture, he says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that it may go well with you even as your soul is getting along well." Let us pray. Our Father, thank you today for the blessings of life that you have given to us, for the privilege that we have of being in your house again. And we just pray, God, that you would bless us in a very special way as we're here for no other purpose except to honor the name of Jesus Christ and to glorify Him. We pray, God, that you would bless me as I shall speak, bless these people as they shall listen, and help us, Lord, to be drawn ever closer to you. For all that you do for us, we'll always praise you, for we ask in the name of Christ and for His sake. Amen. Physical health, spiritual health. Now, when it comes to physical health, a lot of people go to great lengths in order to have a healthy lifestyle. They exercise, they get the proper amount of rest, they eat a balanced diet, and they watch their weight, things like this, things that we should all be doing. Now, when it comes to health, some Christians, though, are not as concerned about their physical condition as probably they need to be. But they don't consider it that important. But when we consider two things, when we consider that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that places a requirement upon us. And then when we consider the fact that even though we're spiritual beings primarily, and that's where we need to place our greatest emphasis, our spiritual being lives within a physical body. And when your physical body has limitations, then it limits you in the spiritual things as well. So God has given us our health. God has given us the body and the life in which we live. And I think that He wants us to take care of it the best that we possibly can. Indeed. Now, today's scripture, though, John writes this. He said, I want you to be healthy. I'm praying for your health. And we need to pray for each other. You know, when somebody is sick, it's very encouraging to know that people are praying for you, that they have your welfare and your interest at heart. He says also, I'm praying for you spiritually as well. Now, let's remember this. Just as it's important to maintain our physical health, it is even more crucial that we maintain our spiritual health. That we be in the state of mind, that we be in the condition that we can be effective servants of God. That we be spiritually strong, that we be spiritually minded, that we think that like God wants us to think and we act like God wants us to act. That's very important indeed. Because if we're not spiritually strong, if we're not spiritually healthy, it affects us in every way. It affects our prayer life. It affects our witness. It affects our servitude for God. It affects everything that we can possibly do. So today, let's think about what's involved in being a healthy Christian. Because I think that that's exactly what God wants for all of us. That we be very strong. That we be very healthy. First of all, I would say this. That a healthy Christian is one that worships God, that truly worships God. This is both publicly and privately. Now, to worship God simply means this, that we take time out for God alone, that we focus on Him, that we put aside the cares, the responsibilities, the things of life, that we put those aside for a few moments and we focus upon God. And we get alone with Him and we tell God basically how wonderful He is and how thankful we are for all of His blessings. Certainly to worship God in this way is our duty, it's our responsibility, and it keeps us very strong indeed. And that's one of the reasons that we're here today. And this is the primary reason that we're here today, is to worship God Himself. And the Bible says that we're to worship God publicly. In the Old Testament, the Bible says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall do you work and do your labor, but on the seventh you shall rest. And then the Bible says that God blessed the Sabbath day. And basically, God gave us the Sabbath day for this reason. God gave us the Lord's day for this reason. And the New Testament is what we celebrate, the Lord's day. But He gave us that day for this reason, that we rest our physical bodies. That, as I said, we come aside from the cares, the responsibilities of life, and we instead of focusing on that and putting our minds and our thoughts upon that, our minds and our thoughts are upon God Himself. To worship God means that we get His wisdom, that we get His direction, that we get in a closer relationship with Him. The Bible says this, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh to you. In other words, get close to God, and God will get close to you indeed. So as we worship today, let's focus upon God. Let's remember how good God is to us and how much He has blessed us. Let's thank Him for all of His blessings indeed. It's a wonderful thing to do. When we do that, it gives us power, it gives us strength in our spiritual life. Not only do we worship to get power and strength from God, but we worship together in order to draw strength and encouragement from each other. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how that we may encourage one another toward love and good works, not giving up the meeting together as the manner of some do, but much more as you see the day approaching. Someone has said this morning, and certainly I've said many times, and I'm certain that you have thought about this too, that we're not only living in the last days, we're living in the last of the last days. And when we think about that, when we think about the world's condition today, it puts a greater responsibility upon us to take time out to worship God, to take time out to gather together in His house with His people, that we might be strong, that we might do those things that He wants us to do. Second of all, we need not only a public worship. Healthy Christians do that, but healthy Christians worship God privately. They draw aside. They find a closet of prayer, and that's the term that the Bible uses. But it's the time that we get alone, just us and God. We tell God how wonderful He is, and we thank Him for His blessings of life. But we ask God to bless us personally, to give us strength, to give us power, to give us wisdom, that we might be the sort of people that He wants us to be. And it's during those times that we get our greatest strength. It's during those times that we feel that closeness to God that we ought to feel in our life. Now, one pastor put it this way. He said that he had been pastoring for a number of years, and he took another church. He went to a brand new church, and of course, he did not know the people. He was trying to get to know them. So he had only been there a few weeks, and he went to visit this lady. And he went to see her about 10 o'clock one morning. He just knocked on her door. He didn't call her before. He didn't say that he was coming, but he just went over there and took the chance that she would be home. He said that when he knocked on her door, he rang her doorbell, that a little girl came to the door that was about 4 or 5, which turned out to be this lady's daughter. And he said to the little girl, said, "Is your mother home?" And he said, instead of answering, said the little girl posed some questions to him. She said, "Are you sick?" And he said, "No, I'm not sick." And she said, "Is someone else sick?" And he said, no one's sick that I know of." And she says, "Is it an emergency?" And he said, "No, it's not an emergency. I'd just like to see your mother." And he said, "Well, you can't see her right now because this is her prayer time. This is her worship time. This is her time alone with God, that she gets alone, then she prays, and she calls out to God." And he said that he went back to see the lady later, and he said, "You talking about a glow, a radiance, a power of God that was upon her?" He said, "It was upon this lady." He said, "It's one of the strongest persons that he's ever pastored." And he said that he looked back at that time that she worshiped God. She prayed to God. And that's what we should do. Publicly, we should praise God and worship God because it makes us a healthy and a strong Christian and effective servant of God that He wants us to be. But there's those private times that we need to spend alone. And certainly, we need to draw aside and be with God Himself. So first of all, a healthy Christian is one that worships God. Another thing that a healthy Christian does is that they read and study the Word of God, the Word of God Himself. Now, the Bible says this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby." We know that a baby needs nourishment. We know that a baby needs it needs certain foods in order to grow and mature, and that this is just a part of life. We as Christians need that as well. We need to grow, and we start out as babes in Christ. We start out not knowing very much. Even if you were raised in church and all these other things, there are certain things you know, but still we're limited until we get to know God. But once we get to know God, one of the ways that we can grow and mature and become a sound and healthy Christian is we must be good students of His Word. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need the Word of God to grow. And by the way, the Bible says we start out as babes in Christ, but we should not stay as babes in Christ. Scripture says, "Feed on God's Word." God's Word is the strength that we need. We can't be satisfied being babes in Christ because we won't be healthy, we won't be mature. A baby is a wonderful thing. They're incredible, they're beautiful, they're very fragile and all of that. But for a baby to stay a baby is unhealthy. And for a babe to stay a babe spiritually is very unhealthy as well. So we must mature, and we must grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do it is by studying and reading His Word. God's Word gives us wisdom, God's Word gives us direction, and God's Word protects us from temptation indeed. The Bible says that thy word will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you. So God's Word is of great benefit to us. If we're going to be healthy Christians, if we're going to be strong Christians, we have got to be good students. We've got to read. We've got to study God's Word indeed. That is so essential. And when it comes to reading God's Word, we need to read all of it, everything that it says. Not just the easy verses, not just those that inspire us, not just those that tell us about the love of God and the power of God and the presence of God and all these blessings and all of this. We need to read everything that God says in order that we might be mature Christians and healthy Christians. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God-breathed is what some versions say, and it's useful, it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. God's Word has been given to us to inspire us, yes, to bless us, yes, to help us to grow and mature, but also God's Word tells us what we need to do, and it tells us what we must not do. It reproves us. It rebukes us. It tells us when we're wrong. It's our conscience. It's our guide. It's God speaking to us each and every day, giving us, as I said, wisdom and direction that we might be the sort of people that God wants us to be. God's Word is like a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster teaches us. It schools us. They teach us the things that we ought to do, but also they correct us in the things that we should not be doing as well. It's like a parent loves their child. They guide their child, but also when a child goes wrong, there's that idea of correction. So God's Word is for reproof, is for correction, is for teaching in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. That sounds like a healthy Christian to me that does that. Thirdly, a healthy Christian is one that has a servant's heart, who has a servant's heart. The Bible tells us this, that the greatest among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. You know, one of the world's greatest problems is selfishness. You realize that? That we put self on the throne, that we think of, our problems and our needs and our responsibilities and how does it affect me and what's in it for me. Our vocabulary far too much. But the Bible says that a true Christian, a healthy and a strong Christian, is one that has a servant's heart. It tells us that Jesus himself was a servant first and foremost. He came not to be ministered to, or in other words, he came not to be served, but he came to serve and to give his heart and his life for the needs of many people indeed. And throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ went about serving people and helping people who were in great need. They were very important to him. The woman at the well, as he went through Samaria, there was a woman there that nobody would associate with, not even the women of the town. She was an outcast. She was she would have been placed in social isolation. Nobody wanted to do anything with her, to be around her whatsoever. But Jesus Christ reached out to her. He helped her. He forgave her for many sins. And she went to the town and said, come and see a man who's told me all things. And yet he's loved me. He's been very interested in me. You know, if we're to have the attitude that God wants us to have, we must be a servant as well. What can I do for people? How can I help people out? What can I do to make their lives better indeed? As I said, Jesus Christ was primarily a servant. And one of his last teachings was this in John 13:4. The Bible says it was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to leave the world and go back to his Father. So he got up from the meal, He took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. And then he said to them, he said, just as I have washed your feet, you are to wash one another's feet. Now, what did Jesus mean by this? Did he mean literally we're to wash each other's feet? I wouldn't have any problem with people that did do that. By the way, I've seen it in my lifetime before, in my early boyhood days, that we literally had foot washings. And by the way, Jewel used to teach with a teacher at Mesquite High that belonged to a church here in Mesquite, a Methodist church, as a matter of fact, that they literally still practice foot washing until this day. I would have no problem with that. But I would say this, and that Jesus was teaching something far more important, that we be servants, that we be interested in the needs of people, that we look around to see people who are suffering, who have problems, who have difficulties, and try to reach out to them, putting others' needs before we put ourselves. And Jesus taught about foot washing because of this. He used that as an illustration that we're to have that attitude, because a servant who washed other people's feet was the lowest possible servant. So he said, if I, your master, would do this, and it's I feel the responsibility of doing this, he said, you're no greater than your master. I'm a messenger of God, and I'm no greater than the one that sent me. If I will wash your feet, then you should wash each other's feet. In other words, you should become a servant of other people and put their needs before your own. I read recently about a medical missionary who was serving in Africa. And it was in a remote area of Africa. The environment was not very good. It was very hot. He was not very comfortable at night, and all of this had to put up with a lot of troubles and difficulties. But his history was this: he had once been a prominent doctor in Chicago, Illinois. He had once had a very successful ministry there, or a medical practice there. He was on staff of one of the greatest hospitals in Chicago. He lived in a luxury apartment. He drove an exotic sports car. But one day he went to church and God saved him. God forgave him of his sins. He called upon God. And he felt a need to become a medical missionary. And that's exactly what he did. He left his practice behind. He left all the luxuries of life behind. He gave it all up. He went to Africa to practice medicine there. And one day, while he was there, a group of people came over from America, and he told them his story, how he got there and what he was doing now, and the fact that he was sleeping in tents. He was sleeping outside sometimes. It was hot. It was dusty. It was dangerous sometimes, and all these other things. And after he told that story, after the service was over, and he spoke at a service, he said a lady came up to him and said, "Doctor," said, "I am so sorry that you're having to endure all of these troubles and all of these difficulties. I'm sorry that you're having to go through all this." And he said to her, he said, "Listen," he said, "don't feel sorry for me." He said, "I'm having the time of my life because I'm a servant of God. I'm doing what God wants me to. And there's no greater pleasure, there's no greater privilege in life than doing what God wants you to do." And I would say, if we're to be healthy Christians, we have got to have a servant's heart. We've got to reach out to people, and there are people all around us who are suffering, who have problems, who have needs, who need a friend, who need someone to comfort them, who need someone to reach out and help them, whatever that need is. And do you know someone that's sick today? Do you know someone that's suffering physically? Give them a call. Write them a letter. Tell them that you're praying for them. That will make a great deal of difference in their life. Do you know somebody that's discouraged? Lift them up. Encourage them. One of the gifts that the Bible gives to Christians is the gift of encouragement. Lift somebody up. Make them believe in themselves. Tell them how important they are to the kingdom of God, to the world, and to you. It will bless them. It will do things for them that nothing else can do. And you know, one of the reasons that we all enjoy the holidays is, well, I enjoy it for several reasons. I've told you that. I enjoy the food. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the lights and the decorations, the gifts, giving gifts and getting gifts, all these other things. But to me, the greatest thing about the holidays is to be with people that I love, people around me who I love, and I know that they love me. That's a wonderful feeling. But you know, as we celebrate the holidays, did you know that this is a time of loneliness for a lot of people? You realize that? A lot of people are lonely. And though it's a time of joy for us, did you know that suicides and attempted suicides and drug use and alcohol use go up during the Christmas season because people are suffering? So I ask you, I say to you, find somebody who has a need. Find somebody who has a problem. Try to reach out to them. Help them in any way that you possibly can. That's what a servant does. That's what we must do. It will not cost you a lot of money. It will not cost you a lot of time. But it can make a great difference indeed. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Only takes a moment. It only takes a little effort to make a big difference in someone's life. One of my favorite commercials, and I'll deviate off from what I was going to say next, but I'll say this. One of my favorite commercials on TV shows this guy who looks like he should belong to a motorcycle gang or something like this. He has big, strong guy, has tattoos all over him, long hair, just looks like you'd be afraid to meet him. Well, anyway, this commercial, this mail carrier comes up, and she sees this guy through the window. And here he is with all this stuff on, as I said, looks like a motorcyclist or something. And he is singing with his little daughter, "I'm a teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle and here is my spout." Takes just a moment to make a moment. And you know, it only takes a moment to make a moment in somebody's life. To tell them that God loves them, to tell them that we love them, so important. One of these days, we're going to answer for our servitude. The Bible says this, one of these days, when we reach heaven, God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and now I'm going to make you ruler over many." You won't always get headlines if you're a servant. You won't always, be recognized for it, but I'll guarantee you this, God will know it. And God will bless you for it. He says if we give as much as a cup of cool water in His name, that He would be there to own and to bless. And He'll bless us and will not lose our reward. Fourthly, a healthy Christian does this. They use their gifts to help others and to build up the kingdom of God. Now, you know, not everybody has the same gifts. Some people only have one gift. Some have more than one gift. Some have three or four gifts. But we've all been given a gift, at least one gift, in order that we might serve Jesus Christ effectively, that we might build up the church and the kingdom of God, that we might reach out and to help other people as well. There's the gift of serving. There's a gift of helps. Not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody is a missionary. Not everybody is an evangelist. Not everybody has the gift of healing and those things. But whatever your gift is, there are no unimportant gifts. Use it for God's kingdom. Use it to help the church, build the church stronger, and to bless other people's lives. And God will use it indeed. And I would say one of the greatest gifts that we need today is the gift of sympathy and empathy. Because there's so many people suffering. There's so many people around us that have great needs. Let's reach out to them and let's tell them the love of Jesus Christ. Fifthly, a healthy Christian is one that shares his faith with other people. Now, you know, one of the last things that Jesus told his believers was this. He said, "Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." The Great Commission has been given. It's our responsibility. We have a world around us that's lost, that does not know God. We live in basically a post-Christian era. But in spite of that, it puts a greater responsibility upon us to do what we can to reach out to others. The gospel is the good news of God's love. The gospel is the fact that Jesus loves you. Jesus Christ will forgive you. Let him help you tell his story to a lost and dying world. Now, you know, in the 1800s, gold was discovered in California at a place called Sutter's Mill was the first major strike. One of the things that the owner of that mill wanted to do was keep this quiet, so everybody couldn't hear about this. He wanted to get rich, but he didn't want anybody else to get rich. Well, you know, sometimes that's our attitude almost. I know Christ. I've been saved. You know, my family is saved and so forth. But what about somebody out there that needs to hear the good news? Where are they going to hear it? You can't hear it. You can't hear about God anymore in school. You don't hear about God very much on television. You don't hear about God in society. We've made all that illegal almost. They must hear it from us. We have a responsibility. And if we don't do it, then who is going to do it? So a great Christian, a healthy Christian, is one that shares their faith with other people. I have two other points, and I'll go over those quickly. A healthy Christian is one that avoids spiritual dangers. You know, there are dangers all around us today. I think we all know that. There are dangers to us physically. There are dangers to our health. But there are dangers to our spiritual health as well. Things like doubt, things like a lack of faith. You know, many times, whenever we have problems in life, when life presses down upon us, when we have difficulty, when things don't go as we would want them to, many times it causes us to doubt God's love and God's power and God's strength. But I think that's a very detrimental to our spiritual health. We should always believe and realize that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. That the Lord is always present with us. He will always help us. The Bible says this, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall not he along with him give us all things that we need? It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So why should we doubt? Why should we fear? It's very detrimental to our spiritual health. We cannot be a good witness. We cannot be effective for God if we constantly have doubts, if we have worries, if we're constantly discouraged. But in spite of it all, we ought to be healthy. We ought to strive to be healthy because we never doubt God's love, God's power, God's word. Finally, a healthy Christian makes for healthy churches. Do you want this church to be healthy? Do you want it to be strong? Do you want to accomplish its mission, to reach out to the community, to make us stronger and greater disciples of Jesus Christ? Then it's going to require that we do our part. You know, a healthy church, it doesn't automatically just happen by accident. It's because it has healthy members who pray, who love each other, who obey the Word of God, who are healthy in all the areas that I have just mentioned here today. That's what makes a healthy church. And we want our church to be strong. We want our church to be great, to go on to greatness, not just a good church, but a very strong and healthy church. But it will take the effort of every one of us. So let me ask you today in closing, and let God help you answer. Ask yourself, am I healthy? Am I a strong Christian? Do I prove it by my worship, by my studying God's Word, by my reaching out to others? Do I prove it by being a servant? Do I use my gifts and my faith in helping other people to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I a healthy Christian? Do I avoid the dangers, the spiritual dangers that are all around me that Satan brings that causes me to doubt? Am I doing my part? Am I a healthy Christian? Do I want our church to be a healthy church? Let God examine your heart today. Let God look at you very carefully. Am I doing my part for God's kingdom? God wants us strong. God wants us healthy. How about you? Let us pray. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for all blessings. We've talked about what it's necessary, God, to be a healthy Christian. We pray, God, that we would be healthy, that we would be strong. It's very, very necessary in our world, God. Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour. He wants to destroy every one of us. Not only, Lord, those people who are already lost, God, he wants to destroy them and help them never to see the light of the need of salvation. He wants to destroy us and our testimony and our witness, God. And if we're weak, if we're not spiritually strong, God, then we can't be effective for you. So we pray, God, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to take a very careful look at us. What can we do to be stronger? What do we need to do, God, to make us more the kind of people that you want us to be? Lord, look at my life. How can it improve? In what areas, God, can I be better? We just pray, God, that I would be open and honest with you, that I would obey the Holy Spirit as I'm asking these others to do. God, I'm asking you to do that for me as well. Then, Lord, the areas in which there are dangers of doubt, of discouragement, of losing faith, God, we just pray that we would avoid that by staying ever closer to you. And then that I would realize my responsibility, Lord, not only as pastor of this church, one of the pastors, but I would realize my responsibility, Lord, as a member of this church to make it a strong and healthy church, because it's no stronger or more healthy, God, than its weakest members. So we pray, God, as we desire your blessings of life, we realize, Lord, that we have a responsibility to live for you. Make us strong and healthy Christians today. Make me the person that you'd want me to be. Make my prayer life, make my witness, make my faith. God, in all areas may I serve you in a manner that would be pleasing to you. These things we ask in the name of our Lord and for his sake. Amen. If your head's still bowed and your eyes still closed, I wonder if you'd just like to raise your hand and say, pray for me today that I would be a healthy Christian, that I would improve in my spiritual health. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to be a stronger person for God. I want to make our church stronger and more effective for his kingdom. May the Lord bless you indeed. Brother Ken.